Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the round 21 preview. In round 20, we went 2-1 on our best bets, continuing our 66% winning clip on best bets throughout the whole season. We won another mixed matchup, not even close, 28 points to 6. The Roosters outscored the Bulldogs. We had to wait till late in the piece for that one to cash, but it was easy as you like. That's the 10th win out of the last 11 weeks. And look at the prices that we are getting. This is a phenomenal run. The multi fell short. One leg lost on a 12-1 multi, and that one leg we lost based on a try very late, minute or two to go in the Cowboys-Broncos game, unfortunately. But if you're having 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup throughout the season, your profit is up over $3,000 this season, which is pretty good. And without sounding corny, it doesn't really matter how well we're going. I have a process that I go about each week, and that involves putting a lot of time getting across all the information that I need to and then putting in that thought into every game to do my best to try and win each week. And I try just as hard every single week. And even if there's a week where I go 0-4 and I've got four best bets this week, there's still the same amount of effort that goes into a round where I might go 4-0. I know in the long run, I'll find you guys more winners than losers. That's certainly what we've done this season. But I just don't want people to think I get comfortable, or I think like, oh yeah, I can pick these games. I don't need to think too hard, or I throw a tip out there because nobody can challenge me. You can challenge me. You absolutely can question anything and pick apart any reasoning I've got for any tip, because I don't just give you the tips. I try and give you the reasoning behind it. And let's, on that note, jump straight into my four best bets. And my first one will be on Friday night. The Dragons play the Raiders, and I'm taking the Dragons plus 12.5 on a mechanical line, and that's going to pay $1.82. And how you get a mechanical line with the Dragons is by playing 91% of a normal best bet stake on the plus 11.5 available at $2 on Ladbrokes and Neds. And the remaining 9%, you're having like a saver on Raiders by exactly 12, which is paying $21 on Sportsbet. Works out the same as backing plus 12.5 at $1.82, but no bookie is offering a price quite that good at $1 for a plus 12.5, and that's a key number, so it's worth playing it mechanically, I believe. This is the Dragons' last shot. I think they are cooked, but this is a winnable game, and they're still in that logjam with all those other sides right around the 8. They get a bunch of inclusions, a lot of their key forwards that are coming back off the COVID suspension, so they're fresh. And Lomax is going to return to this team, hasn't played in this side for months. And the Raiders are going all right. The Raiders are also in that very same position on the ladder and fighting, and they're going to need this game just as badly. But since when do we trust the Raiders are definitely going to win a game 13+? I think the Raiders will be happy just to grind this one out. I see it as a fairly close contest. I was surprised this line was so high. So even though the Dragons are, you know, falling and going in the wrong direction, I think this will be a bit more of an effort here, and they can go close, even a potentially could upset the Raiders. So I'll take Dragons plus 12.5. Then I'm going to take South Sydney minus 9.5. The very next game on Friday night, they're playing the Eels. It's $1.90 on Sportsbet, next best $1.87 on Bet365. I think something could be wrong with Parramatta now. I know that they've struggled the last few weeks, and we kind of put that down to Mitch Moses, but I just wonder if it's more than that. Regan Campbell-Gillard is also out. This side is just lacking confidence, lacking a bit of mojo. We've seen them tail off in seasons past, and the Bunnies are doing the exact opposite. They've got all the vibes to me of a side that is ascending. This particular week, there's lots of reasons why they can be even better. Cam Murray returns to Tola and Benji all back to the lineup. I think there's a chance that the Rabbitohs, just brimming with confidence, just roll the Eels here. And even if I'm wrong, and even if it's a tight game, the Rabbitohs are one of those sides that can play you tight for 70 minutes and then still blow you open. So until the Parramatta Eels can kind of prove that they've got their confidence back, I don't have a lot of faith in them. And I've been pretty high on Parramatta. I certainly was earlier in the year, but I was willing to back against Parra last week, and I'm willing to do so again with Souths minus 9.5. I think they're red hot at the moment. So getting that line under double digits, I think there's a fair chance this game may not be too close. Moving to a game that I hope will be closer on Saturday, the big one for the round, Manly play the Storm, and I'm taking Manly plus 6.5, $1.88 in the first half. It's available at on Ladbrokes and Neds. This could be a finals game dress rehearsal. We talk about how the Eels just keep sliding down the ladder. Manly's the logical side that could get that fourth spot and face the Storm in a week one finals game. And those are all important. And Manly comes into this pretty much full strength and in a lot of form. While the Storm will miss a couple of key forwards. Kalfusi suspended, Kamakamitha, Big Nelson is still out. Even Kenny Bromwich has to get through HIA. So, I mean, the Storm have been missing three or four at least key players seemingly every week and are still on a historical pace. So I wasn't necessarily jumping at the bit to try and back against them here. But again, you've got the full game line over 12 everywhere. And we're going to go back to the well and play this first half line where we're taking over that key number of six in the first half. And even if the Storm accelerates and just breaks Manly down in the second half, we're still going to be okay. I think this game will be final style, and I think Manly will throw the kitchen sink at the Storm, and the Storm are also a side that can be patient and won't necessarily blow Manly away. I'm going to trust just the form of Manly to keep it close against the Storm here. And finally, I'm going to take the Tigers, side that's not really in form, -3.5 points in the second half. So that's second half line on Unibet and Top Sport. They're off a very embarrassing loss and with a long turnaround to think about that loss, but they're still significantly better side than the Bulldogs that are so limited. James Tarmow back after being a late scratch last week, while the Dogs are still missing Thompson and they're not the same team without him. He's still suspended. The Doggies, they'll sometimes start tough. They do start with a high completion rate when they're not chasing the game with a lot of intensity, and that could be the case, and the trick for the Tigers will be trying to match them. But when you play the second half line, I mean, even if the Tigers were to fall behind, you're actually in a strong position second half if the Tigers need to chase points. But if the Tigers find the lead in this game and try and get back some, you know, some pride and some redemption, that's okay too, because I think after blowing a double-digit lead last week to New Zealand, and we'll talk a little more about that game when I talk about all upcoming games, I feel like there's even more desire and intention to go on with it and to right those wrongs of last week, the second half, where the Tigers got outscored by 18 straight points to open up that second stanza, and there was absolutely no reason they should have allowed that. So I think they just have to rebound and play better here. If they can't get back on the horse and beat a side like the Bulldogs, then they basically shouldn't even be in the comp. So those are my four best bets. Let me know what you reckon about them. We're going to talk about each game in detail as well. But first, we'll just throw to our sponsored segment with Tristan from Top Sport.
Hey, punters, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We've got a big weekend coming up where we're back to a bit of normality where the games are on at normal times, hopefully, and they're all being played at Queensland. So some big matchups as we lead into the finals race. Obviously, the Canberra Dragons games has got some pretty big implications. The Eels Rabbits for the top four, so, and then we've got some really good games in the Roosters Panthers, Manly Melbourne as well. So it's definitely a big weekend ahead. The Manly Melbourne game, I think, is a game everyone's very excited for. The market's 12.5 at the moment. Obviously Turbo's been in unbelievable form, and it's amazing to have a game at that price when you got probably about it, the best player in the league at the moment on the underdog side. So at the moment, 375 plus 12.5. If he wasn't in this game, Jacob was asking what we sort of think the price would be. It'd be well over 20. The way the Melbourne Storm are playing, they've been just so clinical, so brilliant. And this game would be, in my opinion, probably, it'd be over 20. I reckon it'd be 20, 22, something in that sort of number. We saw even at the back end of the Cronulla Manly game on Monday night where the line moved significantly and then Toby Rudolph got sinned in and Manly rested Turbo in the last few minutes, in which we were quite happy to see because they got a backdoor cover. The plus covered right at the death there, which was a saving grace from our point of view. We laid a number of same game multis on the minus into the overs into Turbo to score a try. So we were looking like it was going to be a pretty ordinary result until those late couple of tries for the Sharkies. So as we touched on, we're getting close to the finals. There's a logjam at the bottom of the eight with a number of teams still fighting out for those positions. It's been an interesting betting probably couple of months in that regard, where there's been teams getting insured and then drifting out on the back of losing a couple of games and a few teams getting on a little winning streak. Seems like no side really wants to lock in that last spot or last couple of spots at the moment. So at the moment, obviously, from our point of view, we need the Dragons to pull off a miracle and try to get in there to negate the tripod bet. You guys are looking in a pretty good spot there. And from your point of view, I'm sure you'll all be looking at the Tigers-Bulldogs game pretty closely, where if the Tigers can get a result there, they'll be pretty pretty safe to get above the season over and under lines. But as we know, anything can happen in footy, and enjoy the weekend ahead. And as always, if you're having a punt, make sure you do so responsibly.
So just on that Sharks Manly game, which was the one game I didn't get to discuss in the recap, because I did the recap just prior to kickoff. How about that 15 or 20 minute period of time where Tom Trbojevic just absolutely humiliated the Sharkies at three straight tries? At one point in the game with 10 to go, the Sharkies had Rudolph in the bin and were down 40-10 after it, I think it had been 16-10. The Manly looked like they could win that game easily 40 plus. They're attacking the Sharks try line. So you're looking at, you know, running in two or three more tries easy the way the game was going. Somehow Sharkies repelled them, turned the game around and ran in a couple tries of their own. And we're talking about a margin that should have been probably 40 or more based on how it looked. I think Manly then had someone in the bin to a final margin of only 18. And why I reference that is that 20-point swing in final margin could actually be really crucial, because we look at the ladder as we just before we get into these round 21 games. We've got several teams that are vying for top four, and we've got four teams that are equal on points between 7th and 10th, with Newcastle, who if they win tomorrow night, would actually make it five teams all on the same number of points. So points differential is going to be crucial. So I wonder if the Sharks just turning it around, stemming the tide and saving a little bit of face right at the end of that Manly game, is that the difference for them to make the eight? And vice versa, does Manly rue not carrying on with it and putting up an even bigger margin of victory because they don't have the best points differential and they're trying to still catch the Roosters and the Eels? We'll see. I think this is going to go right down to the wire for these key positions, top eight, top four. But specifically with this round, I find it really fascinating that we have eight games. Every line is between 6.5 and 12.5. So you have like no absolute moral winners. You can't tell me any team this round is a certainty to win. But you also have really no coin toss games. Every game has a clear favorite. So, I mean, no doubt it won't all turn out that way. We'll get a couple of these teams that will win super easy and they'll look like morals. And then we'll get a couple of these games that are guaranteed to be closer than expected for sure. My job, of course, is to try and figure out which ones are which. So let's begin with the Knights Broncos at Suncorp Stadium, and the Broncos are catching plus 11.5. I do lean to the Knights. First thing that stands out to me though is that this would be the shortest turnaround of the season, because the Knights played Sunday by virtue of that postponement, and now we've got a backup Thursday. So just a 4-day turnaround, while the Broncos get a 6-day turnaround in this one. As a result of such a short turnaround, I believe Jaden Brayley is going to be rested. Maybe he's got an injury or some sort, or just some niggles. I mean, I think he's played every minute of every game, and he is important for the Knights. And the fact that he won't be there means yet again another match in 2021 where the Knights won't have their full starting spine. But what they will have to boost him is Mitch Pearce, who is back. Chris Randall will jump in at hooker for the Knights. On the Broncos side of things, the huge news is that Tony Staggs is out for the season now with another knee injury. Not as serious as the last one, but they waited so long to get him back in the team. He finally did. He made a huge impact. It was really clear that he boosted that side, and now he's out again. It's a big loss. And additionally, Turpin had an ankle injury last week, and he's out for the season. So Levi starts at 9, and Arthurs will play center. Last week was a really big win for the Knights. A bit like a few weeks ago where I talked about the Raiders pulling an upset win. In fact, they pulled a few upset wins in July, and it made you kind of reevaluate them, because it kept a team that could have been kind of dead in the water, kept them in the hunt, showed they're still fighting, and gave them confidence. And that's what that win by the Knights last week, which was an upset win over Canberra, could do. And I also questioned going in last week, like, the health of some of their key players, namely Kalen Ponga, but he looked a lot better last week, and now he's been named captain to lead the side out Thursday night. That should give him a boost as well, as adding Mitchell Pearce into the fold, of course, like his leadership and just general attacking ability of this side is going to be increased. Not to mention Bradman Best has only just recently returned to this side. So I think there's points in the Knights for sure. We know that Brisbane doesn't do a great deal of repelling, doesn't do a great job repelling any great attacks. I know that they held Penrith in check a couple of weeks ago, but Penrith's had their problems ever since they've had a few key playmakers out. So Newcastle will be scoring, but whether on that short turnaround, whether they'll be a little bit battered, bruised, sore, low on energy, and whether Brisbane can put up a few points too. I think it begins with the Brisbane forward pack, who did really stand up against North Queensland. Haas does every week. Again, he may be the best forward in the competition, but Ricky, Palacia were really good last week. Those guys will all have to be really good again if they've got any hope against Newcastle. Despite that short prep, I just think the Knights are going to embrace it, embrace the challenge, and think they'll still put Brisbane away. I just couldn't quite get over the line for a best bet. But as you know, I do have a best bet in the Dragons, as I said, taking that mechanical line. So instead of just playing plus 11.5 at $2, which I still would play, you're just getting that exact margin of 12 covered, where not only does it save you losing, but you'll win as well if the Raiders win by exactly 12. The Raiders were very disappointing last week, but as I just referenced, the Knights were really good. So you can maybe forgive the fact that they lost to a desperate Knights side that had one of their better performances. Sebastian Chris is out, but the Raiders do get back Ryan Sutton. Now, the Dragons never really had any hope against Souths, and there's not a lot of shame in getting flogged by Souths, honestly, because of how ruthless South Sydney are at this point in time. Losing Ben Hunt is a big loss. Adam Clune will come in for him. But the boost that this Dragon side gets is the return of Bird, DeBellin, Laurie, Lomax particularly, and Maguire as well, all from COVID suspension. So all fresh. These guys aren't being rushed back from injuries. They're guys that have let the squad down and now, you know, need to redeem and really need to be nothing but really focused and really fired up. Josh Kerr and Gerard Beale will serve their suspension. So not too many players going to be serving suspension, because I think the Dragons circled this game on the calendar that this was a must win. Now, curious selection of Jack Bird at fullback when they could have chosen Tyrell Sloan or Dufty. That is interesting to me. But you do think, like, if the Dragons had just given up on the season at this point and just like succumbed to the fact we're not going to make the eight, let's play the kids, then a guy like Sloan, a guy like Jaden Sullivan would probably be in this side rather than going to those veterans. As I mentioned, Adam Clune is going to be in the halves. So I think that at least shows you there's an intent from the Dragons to try and be competitive and get a result here and keep their season alive. Nobody is out of the finals race if you're anywhere kind of above 14th on the ladder. And the Dragons, in fact, yes, are equal on points with 7th place. So they've been there for quite a while because they had that good start to the season. We all know they've been skidding, but this is the kind of game where I think they have a chance. Like, I think a lot of people have written off the Dragons because they've looked really bad ever since the incident, the COVID incident. But when you consider they've played Manly, a Gold Coast that's a little bit reinvigorated, and Souths, those are three teams that could make you look bad on their day. So while Dragons' season is probably already cooked, they of course have to win this game, as do Raiders. And Raiders should be winning, but when you get that line above double digits, I'm willing to take St. George Illawarra. I'm not convinced that the Raiders win this game easily at all. Moving to the later game, Friday night, Eels playing the Rabbitohs. And as I said before, line minus 9.5 to the Rabbits. And I will play that at $1.90 on Sportsbet as a best bet, because this could be the kind of game that one side is just too much for the other to handle. These sides played 6 weeks, maybe a couple months ago, and that was the case. Rabbitohs won pretty easily, and I know that that may actually give an advantage to the Eels, that they can look at what South Sydney did and maybe game plan to stop it better, but I just don't know if Parramatta can stop it. Now, Mitchell Moses returning is huge, but when you have a side that's possibly desperate, which I think Parramatta is at the point of desperation now, and he's kind of have an unusual injury, not a common one, and it's hard to know how to manage or how, you know, match fit he could have stayed while managing, you know, a back fracture. You just would be worried that a player is rushing back out of necessity rather than, you know, definitely fit and firing, ready to go. So I know that the Eels will get a boost, but I don't know if he'll instantly hit the ground running, Moses. And as I said before, Campbell Gillard out, is a big loss while they do get near Corey. And the Eels, I've got to say, will benefit from an 8-day turnaround, while the Rabbitohs also suffer because of the postponement. They're only backing up off a 5-day turnaround. And the one thing that's in their favour, though, is that it was close to a training run against the Dragons. So that's what at least gives me encouragement. The Rabbitohs will play well here, as does the returner Cam Murray, who's been awesome for them this year. And Arrow did a great job at lock forward last week, but now you can kind of bolster your pack with both of them. Totola, we haven't seen much of. And Benji is back after he had to stay away from the team because of COVID contact, something like that. But he's back in the fold as well. So I think the Rabbitohs now pretty much full strength. This could be a kind of game where we really see what they're capable of. I can't help look at this Parramatta-South Sydney game and think about, in fact, that game late last season where South beat Para 38-0 and Parramatta was higher than the Bunnies on the ladder at that point in time. It wasn't like Parramatta didn't have a good year last year, but it was sort of the beginning of the end for Parramatta. And they're going to need to do something kind of drastically different and really turn their form around, or it'll be the same story in 2021. Because, you know, neither of these teams have changed a lot since last year, but we saw that South Sydney was peaking at the right time and they looked to be again, and we saw that Parramatta was falling away. And that really, it's all about confidence. Souths have a bunch of it. Eels have really lost it. So this could be that kind of game that exacerbates that, or it could be a huge opportunity for Parramatta to get it back. So, and if you really think Parramatta is going to put in a great performance here, maybe they're the kind of side you back at the juicy head-to-head odds, because if they get behind and they've got to chase points and they get a bit flustered, then it could easily get out of control. When I looked at this game, I thought this line was actually going to be double digits, because it seems to me Parramatta is actually really unpopular with your public bettors. Nobody seems to give them any credit, even though they've had a pretty good season overall. And Souths are really popular, and Souths are pretty fun to bet on. And more often than not, when you back Souths, they end up putting up big scores and their playmakers shine. So I think grab the 9.5 now before this gets into double digits. So I think there's going to be more people who want to be on the favourite here. And as I said in my kind of real short summary of this game, even if I'm wrong and it's a tight game, it's still not that hard to cover the single digit line these days with just how quickly tries can run in late when players are under fatigue. Next match is Warriors Sharks, which is an interesting one. The Sharks are a 9.5 point favourite. I would have to lean to the Warriors, but I did not have a best bet on this one. Last week's win was a huge feel-good win for New Zealand. I don't want to take anything away from them when I talk about how bad the Tigers were, but it's just if you watch that game, yes, New Zealand gutted it out, and that effort, and given all the factors against them, they really deserved the 2 points there. But I feel like almost any other NRL side would have beaten the Warriors last year. It honestly looked like they were trying to give the game away, but somehow the Tigers just wouldn't take it. Now, how will the Warriors rebound, or what will they deliver for us this week off a win? I think I've discussed this season the losing streak theory, which has applied to the Bulldogs. It applies to any team that's usually towards the bottom of the ladder, has several losses in a row, and then gets the monkey off the back and gets a win, and that's what the Warriors did last week. And now the question is, do they gain confidence from that and do they start to rise, or do they lose that desperation factor that they really were just trying to get off the schneid and they were able to do it and now they exhale and the same old habits creep in? Certainly possible, but on a boost side of things for the Warriors, Fanua Blake, Harris Tavita, Matt Lodge, Josh Curran all rejoin the side, and they again are a side that does get a benefit from the schedule where they've got 8 days of turnaround to come into this one, and the Sharkies are on just a 5-day turnaround. And I mentioned that a couple of games already, and I'll mention it again with a couple more to come. Obviously, that postponement last week has increased that disparity in a few of these games. And I mention it because I really do think it's a significant advantage that your typical punter doesn't really think about. But in this type of sport with so much attrition and at this time in the season, those 3 extra days being 8 instead of 5, it's just those extra days to get recovery, to rebuild the energy levels, and to spend extra time preparing for your next opponent, which is all kind of condensed, of course, if you're off that 5-day turnaround. So that's why I think it's significant and it could help the Warriors keep this game closer. Now, I mentioned the Sharkies, they saved face and maybe some valuable points differential in those final 10 minutes. But prior to that, Turbo made them look like a bunch of kids, you know, playing against a man out there. Absolutely destroyed them just in a short window of time in that second half. But Manly will do that to you. And they've done. The Sharkies are not the only side that's had that happen to them. So I think they can rebound. Ramian will be a boost for them in the centers as well. You've got this Warriors side, which, you know, when I was looking at this game, I'm thinking, well, what are they playing for? They're just playing for pride. But when you look a bit closer at the ladder, I don't think the Warriors are going to make the eight, but they're definitely not mathematically eliminated from the finals. They're still only 2 points behind seventh. They'll see this game as winnable. They don't play any like top six heavyweights to end the year. And even when New Zealand played the Sharkies a month ago, it wasn't a mismatch. It was a very close game. The Sharkies got up by eight in the end, and we were on the Sharkies for a best bet that day. But it was a shorter line that day, and the Sharkies had Sean Johnson. Now, albeit New Zealand had Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, so, you know, you cross out each of these sides really missing their best player. But really, I think there's a bit of a narrative going around right now that the Warriors are just absolutely decimated and can't wait for the season to end. But as I reference, they've actually got quite a few reinforcements coming back into the team. And this line is a lot higher than it was when these two sides played a month ago. So not quite sure what Cronulla has done to really warrant this line climbing so much higher when you consider they lost Johnson. Now, I was going to call this a must-win game for Cronulla. And it probably is, because it's a very winnable game and because they're, what, like $1.30, $1.35 favorite in this one. But if you look at their draw, you can't really call it a must win, because they're probably going to need three more wins to make the finals, and have still got three more winnable games after this one. And you never know. I'm just going to highlight it now. Round 25, if the Storm has the minor premiership sewn up, it would not surprise at all if several stars were resting in the final game of the season. And if that happens, Cronulla could hit the jackpot, especially if, what if Cronulla needs to win in round 25 against the Storm to make the finals, and then the Storm rests half the team? Like, that could be extremely fortunate for the Sharkies. So they're going to be in this all the way to the end of the year because of that great draw. But they do need to bounce back and win. They definitely can, but I reckon the Warriors could also make an interesting game. I would have played New Zealand if I could have got a double-digit line, I think, but single digits, I'll just pass it, as I will with Roosters-Panthers, although I can't wait to watch this one. Probably lean to the Roosters. The line is Penrith minus 9.5. We've talked all about, it's well known, the significant injury toll that the Roosters have suffered in 2021, and it kind of continues because Josh Morris had a hamstring injury last week, may not even play again this season. So they've signed Dale Copley off the street, plugged him straight into the lineup. A small boost for the Roosters is that Warrior Hargraves did win his challenge against the judiciary, so he will play. Again, we have a 9-day turnaround against a 6-day turnaround. Advantage Roosters with that one. The Panthers do get some reinforcements, though. Coruscant back off suspension, Yo back off the head knock, and Tevita Pangai Jr. is eligible to play and will slot straight into the bench, obviously mid-season signing from Brisbane. And even if a guy's been a bit out of form, you just generally expect that when they join a positive culture, contending side, that they're going to put their best foot forward, because he wants to be part of this side and taste some success, something that he hasn't tasted in his career so far. Now, the Panthers lose Crichton, but they slot in Momorowski. Then they're going to play Capewell at the centers, in the centers for this one, and Liam Martin at prop. The biggest question of all, though, I've got to mention, is Nathan Cleary in the reserves. And at this point in time, your guess is as good as mine, whether he sits out another week and they just have him in there just to play some mind games with the Roosters, or whether he could join this side. The way I'm thinking about this whole Nathan Cleary scenario, we know he has the shoulder injury, we know he needs the surgery, but it's not every year you're in a team that's really good and that can win the comp. That's certainly how they feel in Penrith. If he gets the surgery now, it's very unlikely Penrith can win the comp. And even if they did, or even if they still made a grand final, he misses out. So he's going to play through. Potentially there's a pain factor. The longer they leave it, it's got to be better for him in terms of more rehab, more preventative strengthening, less games that you've got to gut out. So there's reasons to kind of keep Nathan Cleary on ice. On the other hand, the longer they leave him out, they do risk kind of losing cohesion, which we've already seen happen, and also losing ladder position, which is starting to happen now for Panthers, although they should still be pretty safe and finish third at worst, which probably won't be any different to finishing second, especially considering it's likely to be neutral venues and no crowds. But all in all, it's calculated when Nathan Cleary comes back. They're certainly not desperate yet, so I won't be surprised whether Cleary is in or out. It could go either way. But in this game, they're lining up with Burton and Luai in the halves, as well as I said before, Appy into dummy half. So that's exciting. Even if Cleary stays out another week, that's still probably going to offer more playmaking. Those two in the halves, as well as what Coruscant can bring back to this side. I don't go out of my way to go against Penrith this year. We've picked our spots when we have gone against Penrith and done well, but this game, the line seems quite high to me, which means I would lean to the Roosters, as I say. But I think that line has built in the possibility that Cleary is playing. So as I said before, line right now, 9.5. Let's say the news comes out tomorrow that Cleary is going to play. I would guess this line will be instantly 11.5. If the news comes out tomorrow that Nathan Cleary is definitely not going to play, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this line would be down to 7.5. So there's kind of a 4-point limits. That's just my rough assumption of which way this game could go, 2 points either way of where it sits now. And potentially this could be a good game, but I think if you want to bet it now at 9.5, you are kind of betting whether you think Cleary is going to play or not. So if you don't think he's going to play and you like the Roosters, you take the 9.5 now. If you do think he's going to play and you like Penrith, you take it now. But otherwise, you probably wait. I could definitely see the Roosters winning this one. They're in good form, the longer turnaround. The forward pack can match Penrith, of course, remembering Fisher-Harris still not in this side, not inside the bubble at the moment. And then you look at the outside backs that the Roosters have got, guys like Teddy and Manu in the form they're in, they can win this game. But as for Penrith, I could see them trying to place a similar game plan to what the Melbourne Storm enacted against the Roosters a few weeks ago, which would be really working on shutting down the time and space that the Roosters are operating in, and in particular, shutting down that space for Walker. And the Storm did that so well, and the Storm beat the Roosters 46-0. And I could see Penrith, they're the kind of side that can actually put you under that much pressure defensively, and that would be the blueprint for the Panthers to win this game and win it well. We saw that as well when these two sides hooked up about 8 weeks ago, when Penrith, the line was double digits and Penrith did cover that pretty well. So hard one for me. I don't have a best bet. Of course, just hard to deal with the Cleary news, but my advice is keep your ear to the ground, because if you get any wind of the Cleary news, that could be giving you an edge that you can use to inform a bet before the market moves. Get a value bet on this game, depending on which way you see it unfolding. Next one, a really enticing game. Some people will tell you this is the grand final preview, depending on how much they rate the Seagulls and the form of Tom Trbojevic. And then it's the rivalry as well. Of course, I'm talking about Seagulls Storm. The line is 12.5, and I am going to bravely or maybe stupidly take Manly plus 6.5 at $1.88 in the first half, Ladbrokes and Neds. So I like the fact that Manly comes in with no excuses, no injuries. In fact, Aloye will join the team while the Storm have those guys that are suspended or injured or in concussion protocol, Kalfusi, Nelson, Tui, Kbrom. So even though I mentioned before that Storm, they have a next man up mentality and such a strong squad that they can cover these guys out, it narrows the gap between these two sides, and it gives that Manly forward pack a chance to not get trampled. And that's where it all begins. You have to match the Storm in the middle of the field. Otherwise, if they're starting to go through you and punch holes through in the middle, they end up opening you up. Now, Nicho Hynes will be on the back of that back line. He's going to start at 1. And Big Stiffy Smithy is going to be the hooker at 9, while you've got Harry Grant and Pappenhausen on the bench. What an embarrassment of riches. Watching Turbo the other night, though, just made me think, like, he's scoring tries that I don't know any other player that scores those tries. Is it a combination that Tom Trbojevic has of impeccable footy instincts, acceleration, speed, agility, and power all in one, and really makes him so hard to stop? And the question that was on my mind was, well, they were starting to get on top against the Sharks, not known as a defensive force, not known as a super consistent side. But could Tom Trbojevic do this and take over a game against any of the big teams and really swing a big game? And you have to probably say he could, considering we've just watched him be man of the series in Origin. And he, say what you will about Queensland, that's still against elite competition. And other games come to mind where Turbo has nearly single-handedly won the game for Manly, including an upset against the Roosters, who were back-to-back defending premiers when Manly upset them last year, I remember, and Turbo had a whale of a game. So would it surprise you if Turbo has a huge hand in this one and potentially even helps Manly get a result? I don't think it would. But don't be expecting Turbo to dominate this game, because if there's anybody that can game plan and figure out how to stop him down, it is Bellamy and it is the Melbourne Storm, and they will be working overtime to keep him under wraps. So I'm just interested in the chess match in terms of tactically how the Storm try to limit Tom Trbojevic, and then whether the Storm have to sacrifice other positions on the field and whether things open up for other playmakers, but then can Manly take advantage of that? It'd be really interesting to see. It's really the form of Tom Trbojevic right now and the form of the Storm. It's kind of that unstoppable force versus the immovable object. So that alone will be worth the price of admission, although you'll be watching it on TV, of course, the sad state of affairs that we're in. But footy's still a great game to watch on TV, high definition. So this will be the case Saturday night. And I think the thing that's in the Storm's favour is while they've won 16 in a row, you sometimes look at a team that could get a bit complacent and could mail in a performance. But the fact that they're coming up against a side that they know actually can beat them and that is another contender, I think actually gives the Storm that laser focus. They'll be fired up, and that could be a really scary thing for Manly. Also, I could see this game very much being a finals preview and a finals intensity type match, especially the way Parramatta are dawdling. It wouldn't surprise at all if Manly grabs that spot and then this ends up being that week one matchup. My instinct when I looked at this line was, wow, I can't believe Manly's getting over a converted try. As I've confessed many times this year, my instincts nearly every week is that the line in the Storm game looks too high. But as we know, one of the reasons they've been so impressive is they are defying logic and they are defying instincts with the rate that they're covering this game. So knowing all that, I don't have to bet against Melbourne here, but somehow I've done it. I just thought that first half line, 6.5, just seemed a little bit too enticing and it could be a tight one, and I'm willing to take Manly and see what Turbo can deliver for us. Moving to Sunday, the Tigers play the Dogs, and the Tigers are a 6.5-point favourite. So we go from two heavyweights in the previous contest to two featherweights. The Tigers are my best bet is Tigers -3.5 in the second half, available on Unibet and Top Sports. So both these sides really disappointing last week, even though it was very different scorelines. The Dogs lost by 30 to the Titans, but arguably the Tigers would have felt even lower in losing by 2 to New Zealand. So on the Dogs side of things, they've dropped Flanagan again. Ockenbaugh is out. Biondi Odo is starting at 6. We've seen him before play dummy half for the Dogs. Meaney and Corey Allen switch from fullback and wing, swap positions. So Meaney fullback this week. The Tigers lost their fullback. Dane Laurie, big loss. He's been like a glimmering light in what's been a pretty dim season for the Tigers. Moses and Bai can fill in. He's not going to star there, but he played that remaining 78 minutes at fullback last week, and he'll start there this week. And Tarmel laid out last week, but is back. We've got the 9-day versus 6-day turnaround again. Tigers edge there with 9 days stewing over that awful loss to New Zealand. And just touching on it one more time, just because that game, New Zealand was there for the picking. And even after New Zealand got out in front 18-10, the Tigers scored again, got it back to 2. And watching the game, New Zealand was out on their feet, and it just felt like all the Tigers needed was a playmaker to step up and they would have grabbed that game and they would have won it. And that's why the majority of the criticism, I think fairly, is being pointed at Luke Brooks. And on that note, because this game is really huge for our season multi, which is 15-1, and really I think it just comes down now to whether the Tigers can get 2 more wins. So when I put that in, I was thinking that the Tigers could be a really frisky bottom 8 side this year. I didn't think they'd make the 8, but I think I said they could come 9th. And to get over 7.5 wins only means winning 1 every 3 in this competition. So, and it is still a fairly even competition, or at least it has been historical this year. There's a bit more separation. But part of my reason why I thought the Tigers would be a bit better this year, and we may still get over 7.5, but I do think I was a bit wrong, because I thought this could be the year that Luke Brooks, with a bit more freedom and that ownership of the team, could have one of his best seasons now that Benji had moved on. The truth is, it hasn't happened. He's not stepping up in the key moments. He's not helping them win games, which is what you need from your halves, and it becomes glaring in the tight ones. Perfect example last week, the game's there to be won. The Tigers' spine couldn't step up and do it. Will they get two more wins? Well, they do play the Dogs twice in the final month of the season, including this one on Sunday. I hate to say this, I have this strange feeling that we can't count on two wins for the Tigers over the Dogs. I just have this feeling they're going to split and win one of the two against the Dogs. Hopefully it's this week. Even if they do split with the Dogs, the Tigers also still play Cronulla and North Queensland. So I wish we get a lot of bites at the cherry here to get these two wins. But if we win this one with the Tigers, then we'll only need one more Tigers win in the final four matches. Surely that will get us home 15-1. So what it comes down to me, the Tigers just should be winning. The only thing that you would question will be their desire. They're not going to outclass the Dogs, and they're not going to win just by showing up. They're going to have to match the Dogs' intensity. What I notice most weeks is the Doggies, they're no frills. They're going to complete at a high percentage. They're going to make you beat them. Even against the Titans, it's a game they lost by 30, but you can't just say, oh, the Dogs were hopeless. The Doggies came out and played hard, were completing sets, and the Titans actually got a couple of fortuitous tries that just kind of broke the Dogs back. Otherwise, the Dogs were willing to get in a grind with the Titans. So that'll be the case here. You know, maybe it's a hard one with the Tigers because, again, you could say they're not going to make the eight. There's no pressure. And against a lower opponent on a Sunday afternoon, they should actually be able to play a bit of footy and should win this game well. On the other hand, there is always that risk of that dream crusher that their long season goal was to try and make the eight, even if it was unlikely. And do the Tigers get confronted with that realization they can't make it? And do they drop in energy? That's what you're risking here as much as anything. But I'll back that the Tigers, off an embarrassing performance, can step up and redeem themselves, especially bringing it home strong for our best bet in the second half. Finally, the Titans play the Cowboys. The line is 11.5, Titans favorite. And this one's at Cbus. So the Titans have won two in a row. It pulls them up to 8 wins, 11 losses. But they are in the top 8. Due to the peculiar ladder this year. It needs to be 3 wins in a row for the Titans if they're going to finish in the top 8 because their next two opponents are Rabbitohs and Melbourne. Now, they will be missing Peachy, who's suspended, and Jamal Fogarty is in the reserves yet to return. Maybe they don't need to rush him. Sexton and particularly Ash Taylor looked really great against the Dogs last week, but it was only the Dogs. So it's important. This game could be closer and you do need good halves play. And I think I've said many times about the Titans, it's easy when your front runners, when that forward pack is steamrolling somebody, to look good off the back of it. But can you win a close game? I'm not necessarily saying this will be a close game, but something tells me that the Cowboys will be boosted this week, especially with the return of Valentine Holmes. My understanding was with his shoulder injury from Origin, he was threatened to be out for the season. But in fact, he is back. And it's such a big inclusion because you lost the Hammer a month ago and then you've been playing Granville at fullback. So to be able to bring a star like Valentine Holmes back in, it's just such an upgrade over what they've had, regardless of how well Holmes can play. Maybe being calling him a star these days is a bit kind, but he's the kind of player kind of similar to an AJ Brimson where he can have a moment that can turn a game, and the Cowboys have been really missing players that they can look to deliver in the big moments, and they've been really thin on outside backs. Now, with the Cowboys forward pack, they're shaking things up a bit. 3 of their bench forwards have been promoted. 3 of their starting forwards have been demoted to the bench. This time, another big disparity in turnaround favors the Cowboys. Another reason they may keep it close. They're off the 9-day turnaround while Titans are off the 6 days. I think the Cowboys have lost 7 straight games, so I don't think many punters are going to want to trust them in this one. Again, that may actually mean this line is inflated. Really, if you look at the Cowboys the last 10 weeks, you could argue they've only been impressive once, and that was that loss to Melbourne. So I think the sharp side may be the Cowboys in this one, but I won't go against the Titans because it is an absolute must win. And the fact of the matter is they believe they're good enough to make the finals. Well, you don't deserve a final spot unless you can put this opponent away. You're at home as well. So it's a steep line. Have the Cowboys given up on their season? To me, it doesn't feel like they've given up, and I think they could fight. And if the Titans aren't on their game, the Cowboys could even steal it. Could go either way. You don't usually make a lot of money betting against sides that really desperately need the game. That's the Titans, whereas the Cowboys kind of playing pressure-free, which can go either way. They could be really, really loose, or they could actually create some problems for the Titans. It'll be an interesting one to see how it plays out. I won't have a best bet on it, but I do have the mixed matchup to share, which actually takes place on Thursday and Friday night. So I should have touched on that one a few games ago, but I'll just mention it here. As I mentioned, with the Knights playing the Broncos, I see plenty of points for Newcastle. I think Mitchell Pearce will be a big addition, and the form of Bradman Bears, Kalen Ponga has really sparked a bit more life into the Knights. We saw him score a few points at Suncorp last weekend, and I don't think Brisbane's going to be any more stout than Canberra were. And so I'm going to take the Knights to outscore the Raiders, who play the next day against the Dragons. And my best bet is on the Dragons. I think the Dragons can keep it close, maybe even pull an upset there. So interesting one, because these two teams are both expected to score right around 30.5. Both of these teams, Knights and Raiders, are exactly 11.5-point favourites. I think both totals are 50. So we're looking at two basically mirror games. But I've got more faith the Knights will go better than the Raiders will the next day with my best bet against them. And we get $2.40. So we're getting over $2 odds, because we do run that risk of losing if they both land on the same score. But I think it's worth rolling the dice, especially when you've got two teams that could both be high scoring. Then it's quite variable, and it's less likely that they would both land on the exact same total. So that's why I like that. As I said, we're shooting for 11 of 12 mixed matchup winners this week. Very in-depth pod, a bit of a longer one. Hope you didn't mind. Please let me know your insights for round 21 as well in the comments. Good luck with any of these bets that you back, or any of your own. As always, gamble responsibly and legal.